What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to a new episode of Her with Amina Brown. And ooh, y'all, I had to record right quick, okay? Because if I didn't record right quick, me and our guest today were about to just start talking and y'all was gonna miss all the things. Already talked about stuff that ain't y'all business, but the part that is y'all business, we would have missed out because I was about to just enjoy talking to her. We gonna welcome today Arita Award winner, top 25 Amazon bestseller, advocate for families living with autism. Let's welcome author Kennedy Ryan. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here.
Oh my gosh. I feel the feelings being in here.
I feel the feelings too.
Yeah. Like I tell my podcast listeners, I consider this podcast to be a living room space. You know, it's the space where I like gather with my girlfriends. That's how I imagine it, you know, and you like bring your little broke down snacks and your girlfriend got some little broke down snacks and y'all, cause y'all really just got together so y'all can chat. You know, that's sort of like the room that we're here, but it is extra special to have you here, Kennedy, because I just feel so emotional seeing all of the amazing things that have been happening in your career. So let me tell y'all something before we get into the questions, because we are here doing a Her Favorite Things episode with Kennedy Ryan. So we're going to try to get some information, some tea, some things from her about some things that are her favorites. But before we start that, let me tell y'all something. Kennedy Ryan and I go way, way back. Like,
way back.
Like, Kennedy Ryan know me before my hair was natural.
same.
Like, we had perms.
We were still on that crack.
Hair was straight. I'm going to let y'all know my fashion was terrible. Okay.
I think I knew you before I had my son.
Yes, you did.
I mean, predate my son. Yes. So that's saying something. He is 22.
Ooh, Kennedy, okay. Don't do me like this. Don't do me like this, honey.
We go way, way back.
Way, way back. And I'm going to tell y'all a memory, and you probably remember this too, Kennedy, but we were in church together for a long time, and we both kind of reached a crossroads in that moment, because it wasn't just, I'm going to tell y'all something. Me and Kennedy weren't just people who like went to church on a Sunday. We was like at that place a lot of days in the week. And reached a crossroads where we both were just at a place where life was shifting. And we had an opportunity to think about, what do we really want to be doing? You know, what do we really want to be spending our time doing? And I remember being at your house and you took out two chapters of something that you had been writing. And you were like, read this. This is what I think I want to be doing. And those of you who have read Kennedy Ryan's work, y'all know the vibes of what's about to happen. Like, I started the first page and then like just blew through the two chapters sitting at her house. And already knowing you, Kennedy, you already know about you. Anyone that's met you knows you're a wonderful communicator, knows you have this very warm personality, you know. So it's not like I'm not expecting this writing to be good, just having known you. But y'all, it was great. Like, it was great what was there. Like, I was actually upset about it a little bit. Like, how I only have two chapters? What happened to them? They be together? They broke up? Like, what happened to them? And you were
don't
looking
leave me hanging.
Exactly. And you were looking at a few of us that evening like, this is what I want to do. I want to write fiction. I want to write novels. This is my thing. And then all of life happened. And by the time I reconnected with you, I was like, that girl done did it. That girl
well, and all
thing.
The things that you've done, like seeing your spoken word and your poetry all over the place and your voice so big in so many spaces, like, it's amazing. It is amazing.
Like, I really, you know, shout out to Black women who watch The Color Purple, but I really be having like a Sophia in the Store with Celie moment every time your Instagram posts come up on my feed. Like, I really want to be like that day in the store. And I'm like, Amina, don't do that on Kennedy's professional page. Do not get involved in rocking motions and crying on her page. So I'm just so excited for you and so excited now that there are so many books of yours out in the world and other projects to come connected to these books. So I'm saying that to y'all, this show time to be going to go ahead and buy these books if you haven't. I don't know. You're behind the times. Get it together. Okay, so let me ask you about this, Kennedy. When you gather with friends, if you are assigned to bring a snack to the gathering, what's your snack? What's the thing that you are typically walking in the door? Are you a person who's like, herein, I must make a snack at my home and bring you a homemade snack? Are you a friend who's like, you know, I wasn't going to bring no homemade snacks. Here's a snack I done brought you from the store. Be happy with it. What are the snack vibes?
If I'm making it myself, first of all, I don't cook very much at all. I resist domesticity at every turn. it's not my ministry at all. I don't cook very much at all. So if I'm making it myself, I might do like, you know, you can do the spinach dip with chips or something like that. Mm-hmm. That would be it. Mm-hmm. But if I was bringing something that was pre-prepared, I love a good like charcuterie board with like, you know, good cheeses and some fruit and nuts and things like that, a jam. Mm-hmm. That is the kind of snack. That's the snack vibe I enjoy. If I'm not personally responsible for it, I'm not great at charcuterie boards, but that would be my snack vibe.
I do feel like I have a lot of good intentions related to charcuterie. I have a lot of good intentions.
I do too. And I have a lot of Pinterest. I'm always pinning things and saving things. Like one day I too will make such a picturesque charcuterie board. And then I end up bringing like Doritos. You know, it's like, okay, that was a thought that I had.
Yeah, I appreciate what you said about pre-prepared, because I feel like that's my best case scenario. If I'm walking into my friend's house with charcuterie, it's like, y'all, chef so-and-so.
Yeah.
Be thankful they did this, because otherwise everything's ugly. It's like, I'm not as visually prepared to do this type of thing as I want to be when I am on Pinterest looking like, oh, look how they made ham and they turned it into roses. That's not going to happen.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I know. I looked at my TikTok the other day and you have like the collection. I had literally 300 recipes saved and never have I made one of them. Never. And same with Instagram. I mean, and my FYP and my feed are flooded with them because I save them all the time. So all the algorithms think I'm a domestic goddess when actually I'm the opposite. I'm just a saver and a pinner. I don't do anything.
A domestic pinner is really where the life is, because that means there's nothing domestic you have to do. You're just looking at domestic things like, oh, I bet that's nice.
Oh, look at that. Someone's doing that. I aspire to that aesthetic. You know, that's about as far as it goes.
I love that. This is a great snack. I thank you for this. Okay, I want to ask about your favorite place to write. But before I get to that, I want to see if you can catch us up, me here and the listeners. What happens going from that moment where you are like, it's an author I want to be? Like, I think you knew you were a writer before that moment.
Yeah.
But the moment that you were like, yeah, no, this is me professionally. I want to be an author. I want to write books.
Yeah.
What was that moment where you then crossed over from that threshold to say, this is a thing I'm going to do? And now when you look at where your career is as a writer, give us some of like the landmark moments that you feel really helped you get into the life that you are in now.
Yeah, it's really a series of them. You know, when I look back at my life, even when we first met, there's no way that I could have projected, you know, the things that are happening for me now. It's like a daydream, you know, some of the things that are happening now. I have to pinch myself. I like you said, I always knew I was a writer. I started writing. I knew my degree was going to, I knew I was going to journalism school. Like, I started writing for our city newspaper when I was 17, you know, a senior in high school. So, and then I wrote for nonprofits and churches, philanthropic organizations. And then, you know, my son was diagnosed with autism and I started writing a lot around autism advocacy, like Chicken Soup for the Soul and Mom Magazine. And, you know, it was like my whole life. And then, of course, I started a foundation for families who have children with autism. So a lot of my writing just shifted to special needs parenting, special needs families, and advocating and voicing for our community. So that means I was a special needs mom. I was running a foundation. All of my writing was around special needs. And that was a privilege, you know, but it also, I came to a point where I was like, I need something that's just for myself. You know, and I remembered that I love to read romance. Like when I was growing up, I love to read romance. And you have to remember, my mom was a preacher. And so she did not want me to read romance. No. We fought over it. I smuggled romance novels into our house. I hid them under mattresses. I stuffed them in my closet. I had 300 romance novels in my closet from 8th grade to 12th grade that my mom knew nothing about. I put a tarp over them. You know, I mean, I hid them. I hid them from her because she was like, you can't bring that in my house. You know, so I had always loved reading romance. And then, you know, when you get to college, you start reading the serious books. You know, it's like, oh, no, it's time for me to read the serious books. And I did that. And then in my 30s is when, life was heavy.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot that I was managing and navigating as a mom, as a wife, as a woman, and I needed an escape. And that's when I started reading romance again. And I was reading romance and it was such an escape for me, and reading fiction, which I hadn't even been reading fiction. Everything I read was like, you know, nonfiction, self-help, autism, which has been amazing. You know, all of that has been amazing, just guiding my family on our journey with autism. But I wanted something that was just for me. And after reading, like returning to reading romance, I was like, what if I wrote it? Like, I'm a writer. I am a writer. I'm a trained writer. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at it. What if I started doing this for maybe a living? And for me, it was kind of an unusual journey because a lot of times when people say, well, I'm going to write a novel, there's all these, you know, rejection letters, and it's just a whole process of getting published. And things went pretty quickly for me. Mm-hmm. Like I wrote, it's so interesting because the book that's so big right now is titled Before I Let Go, which has been, you know, option for television. It's going to be on Peacock, which is freaking amazing. And that's actually the first book I ever wrote.
Wow.
15 years ago. Wow. And I never planned to publish it. So I don't even know if that's the one that you read. I don't mm-hmm. think it was, because the only people who had ever read that book were my husband mm-hmm. and my sister and my cousin. And that was it. And then I just like shoved it under the bed and forgot about it, and then returned and wrote something different.
Wow.
That was kind of just to see if I could do it. And I thought it was no good. So I didn't return to that for 15 years ago when my husband was like, what about that divorce book? And I pulled it back out. So thank God for my husband to say that. But that other book that ended up being my first book that was published now 10 years ago, which is ridiculous. I can't even wrap my head around that. I joined a writer's group. You know, I knew that I was a professional writer. Like, by profession, I was a writer. But I did not assume that just because I knew how to write, that I knew how to write fiction, commercial fiction, right. that I understood that industry. Mm-hmm. It's a very different thing. And I started going to a writer's group in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and that they really helped me. Like, surrounding yourself with like-minded people, surrounding yourself with people who have similar goals and who will, you can hold each other accountable and encourage each other. That was so vital for me. They were mostly women, lots of them Black women. Lots of them were self-publishing, and I wasn't sure if I was going to self-publish or traditionally publish. And traditional publishing was kind of hard to break into.
Right.
But we would have these conferences, and we would invite agents and editors down from New York, because at the time you had to be coming from New York. Things are much more remote and looser now, but they would come down from New York, and everybody was like, this book that you've written, just pitch it for practice. And I never pitched before.
Wow.
And that's when you basically sit down with an agent or an editor, and you just tell them about your book for like 10 minutes. And they said they'll either ask for, they'll just say thank you and you're done, or they'll ask for a partial. But if they're really interested, they'll ask for a full, which means I'm so interested, I want the whole book. I want to read the whole book. And they were like, don't count on that. This is just practice. And so I sat down with, I booked one editor and one agent just for practice. And the editor I sat down with, I pitched the book to her, and she said, I want the full. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you want what?
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You we want the what? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, they said this probably wouldn't happen. She was like, oh, I want the full. And then I had another meeting with an agent and she goes, I want the full. And I was like, wait, it's not supposed to happen like this. So just because they asked for the full doesn't mean they want to publish it within that. You send them the full manuscript, like after that, and they either get back to you or they don't, or it takes a long time. Within a month, I had heard back from the agent and the editor. The agent wanted to represent me and the editor wanted to buy the book.
Wow.
And so I was like, wait a minute, this is not how it's like. You're everybody talked about how you go through like 50, 60 rejection letters. And, you know, and I was that's what I was prepared for. I was not prepared for this acceleration that happened. And from there, I published 4 books traditionally. And then I started self-publishing.
Wow.
And honestly, that's how I really built my career, was through self-publishing. I love the creative control, the editorial control, the promotional control that comes with creating your own work and controlling and selling your own work.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 2 years ago is when I returned to traditional publishing with the book that's out now, Before I Let Go. So,
wow.
You know, that's my journey, like in a nutshell.
Oh my gosh, what a full circle thing. Because I think there are so many of us as writers that write the thing that we're like, no, not that one.
Yes,
and in your career, for that to have returned back to you, like, yes, that one. I mean, even I think Stephen King has that type of story about The Shining, where he like threw The Shining away. And it was his wife that was like, maybe we don't throw this book away.
No, I had not even thought about it. And when I decided to, I was self-publishing and I had an agent, and the traditional publishers, it's so interesting because in the beginning of my career, I'm chasing all these publishers. And then I got to a point in my career where they were coming to us and saying, we want to publish Kennedy, you know? And I was like, I'm good over here. Like, I like self-publishing. I told her it would have to be the right situation. It would have to be the right partner, because at this point, if you've ever self-published or run your own business, you don't want to work for somebody else. Like, you don't want somebody to tell you what to do.
That part.
You enjoy that autonomy. You enjoy that, you know, that control, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so I was at that place, but I found an incredible partner. And I say partner because my publisher, they respect that I've built my own brand.
Yep.
And they're not asking me to change that. They're like, you've built your brand. We want that brand. And I'm, you know, really lucky that that's the case. But my agent was like, so what are you going to write? And I had no idea. What are you going to pitch? I had no idea. I was just a blank. And that's when my husband was like, what about that divorce book? And literally, I was like, babe, you know, like, babe, that thing ain't no good. He was like, it was good. Go back and read it. And I did have to restructure it. Mm. It was written in third person. I had to write it in first person, change the names. Like, there's so much that's different about it. But the core of it was there, you know? And yeah, so I have to always give him props for that.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have happened without him.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I love that story. Do you have a favorite place to write? Are you a writer that can write in your home? Are you a writer that has to leave home in order to write? What is that part of your routine like?
I need supreme focus. You know, and if my husband is watching television and my son is screaming for me to like fix him some food or ask him for help, I'm not going to be able to write. Like, I have a writing coach, and the way she describes it is, let's say you're on a train, and she was like, you make these stops. Some people can just pick up from that stop and start writing again. She was like, the way your brain is made, when you stop, you have to go all the way back to the station. And so she's like, you have to create a space where you don't have to stop.
Right.
Because every time you stop, you have to start over. And so I can write at home if no one's here or if people are asleep. Like, I used to write a lot at night after my son and my husband went to sleep, and it was just completely quiet. So I can write here if that's the case. You know, lately I have been, this sounds crazy, I like to write in bed, but again, I know, I like to write in bed, but if they're home and it's not peaceful, I can't write in bed. This is going to sound extreme. I go to hotels to write.
Yo.
I go away for maybe 3 days or, you know, like if I'm under deadline, I'll go away for I will go away for 3 days and write 30,000 words in 3 days. And if I'm home, it takes me 3 weeks to get there. You know, like that's my favorite thing now is to go to an Airbnb or to go to a hotel and just lock away. Mm-hmm. I barely shower, you know, I order food. I'm serious. I'm just like, I'm here to work and I hit a rhythm and I have written the biggest chunks of my novels at a time in hotel rooms. You know, it's like pedal to the metal. So,
and the ability to just be focused on that. I think life and especially home, it's like, you know, we love our homes, but also our homes remind us of like stuff that could be cleaned up and things we forgot to do. And somebody walk in and start talking and I want to talk too, you know, like there's all those distractions at home too. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And so I need to pull away from that. And my husband is so amazing, you know, because he holds down the fort. When he travels a lot too, but we do that for each other. You know, I think he is to say he is my biggest cheerleader is such an understatement. Like it's such an understatement. I'm the one who's like, oh gosh, I don't know if I need to do that. He's like, no, let's get somebody to clean the house. Let's get somebody to cook the food. Let's get somebody to do all these things. You just write, you know?
Love it.
And I don't take it for granted, you know, and he's like, no, you go away to the hotel, you go away, you know, to have a partner who believes in you that way and who support each other that way is so invaluable. So invaluable.
Oh, I love that. Cause you know, being in a relationship with a writer, you know, it'd be hard sometimes. And so,
it really is. I don't think people recognize how hard it is sometimes to be involved with creatives, you know, to be in relationships with creatives. Cause my husband can always be like, you're not with me. Like he's like, there's a look you get in your eye where you're kind of like in your head and you're thinking about your story. And he's like, the closer you get to your deadline, the less of you we have, you know? And he's like, I'm used to that pattern now is I know we're not going to have very much of you for weeks at a time. And so he gets that now.
bless. Okay. Because I feel like my husband and I, both of us being creatives, I feel like if I could overgeneralize, like every artist is either like the tormented artist or the opus artist. And I'm the tormented artist. Like I finished my first book draft and like sent it into the editor. And my husband's like, we need to go celebrate. And I'm like,
That's me.
Cried right away. He was like, okay. We ain't getting
around. It's a little
brownies.
Bit of a mourning. You know, it's a little like when you're so consumed with something, it gives you purpose, you know? And after I finish a book, I kind of feel like I'm floundering. Like I have to reorient. It's like I'm re-entering the world and I have to find my purpose again, you know, because for so long that book is everything.
Yeah.
And everything kind of takes a back seat to it. And then when it's gone, I wake up and I'm like, what do I do? What do I do?
Exactly. You know? That. Yes.
And my son's like, I'm over here. My husband's like, I'm like, okay. Now I remember.
That's right.
I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm a person. I'm a friend. I'm a sister. I can do all these other things, you know?
I love that. Yeah. I feel like my husband's the opus artist. Like everything he makes, he come downstairs and he's like, this is the best thing I've ever made. This music today that I've made is the best music that I've ever made. The next day he'd be like, today I have made the best thing. And I'm like, okay, so those two artists live in the same house is a wild time because I'm like crying because I'm like, what if the poem won't be as good as the last one? And he's like, this was amazing. This was amazing.
Yes. But that's me too. I'm always like, gosh, you know, this one's not good. Or, you know, I think that's, I don't know. For me, it's always, you never get rid of that like kernel of, is it good enough or the self-doubt. And then just the standard you hold yourself to, you know, because I can't stand mediocrity. You know, I can't stand when something is fine. You know, I'm just like, okay, it's fine.
Right. Yikes.
Even it's good. I'm like, it's good. It's cute. It's, you know, I want everything to feel fantastic. And that's a high bar to set for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's not realistic.
Right. So. Right. Bless our hearts. Okay. Bless now, talk to me about the genre of romance. Mm-hmm. I am new to the genre, to the genre okay. as a reader. So just within the last maybe 3 years. So shout out to my assistant and friend, Lee, who like put me on because I was like, listen, things in life are going kind of wild right now. I really can't be here reading doomsday books. Like I really, this is not, she was like, you need to start reading romance because at least you have a happily ever,
after,
you know, that you
guaranteed
know.
Joy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I didn't even, I think I reached out to you. I messaged you one time because I saw you interviewing one of my closest friends in the genre, Adriana Herrera. And I was like, you interview romance novels? And you couldn't even reach out to me? To me, and we've known each other. You were like, okay.
And let me tell y'all something, you know, and put this in the list of things COVID ruined, because the plan was that Her with Amina Brown in 2020 yeah. was going to become a live recording.
Yeah.
So originally, Kennedy was in, like, I had a very small list of people that we were like,
yes.
gonna invite to do this live recording with an audience.
And I was living in Atlanta at the time.
At the time, right. Okay. We had put our little plans together. COVID came and said, no, thank you. So then mm-hmm. I was kind of holding the interview, Kennedy, like, okay, no. okay, eventually things going to open up. Oh, no, it's not. Okay, next year it's going to, nope. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to do this now. And then we can do it live again.
Yes.
We'll figure this out. But yes, did she cuss me out in my DMs? Yes.
No, I did
definitely
not.
Definitely reached out to me like, if I see one more romance author on your podcast.
And you ain't even, what?
That ain't me. I've been here all these years. What you doing? What is your favorite thing about writing romance? Because as a writer, you had a lot of genres, you know, you had a lot of genres you already had experience writing,
right.
Approaching even fiction, approaching the form right. of the novel. You had a lot of different ways you could have gone. What was right. it about writing romance that you were like, oh, I love this. This is what I want to do.
You know, for me, like, I love, it's exactly what you touched on, which is that it's guaranteed joy. And a lot of people will ask, is what you do even romance? And I think the reason people have asked that about my books a lot is because my books tend to be heavy. Mm. You know, like they're dealing with things like domestic abuse, like intimate partner abuse. They're dealing with things like missing and murdered Indigenous women. Like they're dealing with these really hefty kind of topics. And a lot of people think of romance as pure escapism. Mm. And that's not my philosophy for romance. My philosophy for romance is not escapism. I see romance as a safe landscape to have difficult conversations. And the reason it's safe is because I know it's going to be okay in the end.
Yeah.
You know, like we can have these difficult conversations. We can explore even traumatic events and then the path of healing. Like we can talk about all of that in the context of romance because I know it's going to be okay. And because we have guaranteed joy. Mm-hmm. So that's how that is my favorite thing about romance is that we have guaranteed joy. We know it's going to be okay. And especially writing about Black and Brown women, which is what I primarily do. It also says you are worthy to be loved.
Yeah.
You know, like there are so mm-hmm. many, there are too few spaces where Black and Brown women are loved unconditionally and loved, you know, in the way that we are supposed to be affirmed, in the way that we are supposed to be told that we're beautiful and attractive in the way that we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
There's so much in culture that is, whether it's implicitly or subliminally feeding to us that we're not worthy of those things and that we are the lowest on the totem pole of being attractive, you know, the lowest on that hierarchy that we're not beautiful.
Right.
You know, there's so many things that say that to us. And I love that in romance, you're going to see and what I'm writing for the most part is Black and Brown women, you're going to see them loved unconditionally yeah. and wildly and respected and esteemed and affirmed. And in the end, have joy. And yeah. anytime I can present that in cultural spaces, is incredibly rewarding for me, for Black women to, especially for Black and Brown women, to see themselves and say, oh my gosh, this is seeing a woman being loved this way, being respected this way, being treated this way. Yeah, like that's how it could be. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, romance gives unrealistic expectations.
But
what? That a man would respect you?
Right. Why is that unrealistic?
Someone would believe in your agency, that someone would center your pleasure, that someone would want the best for you. What's unrealistic about that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So not that every romance novel is going to be realistic, but I mean, that's what I love.
Right.
You know, that's what I love about the genre.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay. If you'll share with us, do you have a favorite cuss word that you like to use?
I think it's probably... I think it's fuck. I think it is. Mm-hmm. I hope my mom never listens to this. Mm-hmm. But I really think it is. And when you write it, it's so powerful. Like there's so many things rolled up in that. And it's
true.
Like it can be used in so many different ways, but it's never passive. You know, it always kind of just like explodes into any conversation. So I think that's probably it.
Mm-hmm. Fuck really does the work. Like it just there's a lot of work.
It carries a lot of weight. It really does.
Like it's almost like the cuss word equivalent of girl. You know, like especially like between Black women, there's like a way you could be like girl. Yeah. Like it could just mean so many different like I feel like fuck has that, it does that work. It's like it could be like I'm disappointed, it could be like I'm mad at you, it could be like you fine as hell, all in the same word. Like
it's multitudes. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I'm in agreement with that. Do you have a favorite Black girl hairstyle? And I know this might change in different seasons of life. So if you have one generally, or if in this season you have a favorite, like this is my favorite Black girl hairstyle.
Braids, you know, like right now I have like a few braids and then I have like extensions. I have like a combination, but it's protective. Mm-hmm. Like for me, it's almost always protective. And part of that is because when I'm writing, I tend to like mess in my hair a lot and it'll fall out. I have bald spots. Like, so it's always for me protective. Mm-hmm. But right now I love like a good, like Zoe Kravitz braid. That's where I am right now. You know, the braid with the hair and the kind of like messy bohemian feel. That's like my favorite thing right now because I don't have to do much to it. And I like the way it looks.
I celebrate that. I'm just newly back to trying box braids.
Yeah.
Like I had box braids as a child. Not me telling my age, Kennedy, but I had box braids back when they had to use the lighter.
On the burnt ends.
I went back to get some box braids last year for like the first time in 20 years. First of all, the girl who's braiding my hair looks like she's in high school. I know she's a grown adult, but it's like, I just look at her like, are you sure you should be here? Like, did you finish class? I don't know. So then when she brought the hot water, she brought the hot water and I was like, what you getting ready to do with that? She was like, oh, this is how you seal the braids. I said, no, you. She said, mm-mm, you don't use the lighter.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Definitely was no, ma'am. She definitely also hit me with the, oh, yeah, my mom used to do that. And I was like, I feel like you're equating me to being the age of your mother. And I don't know.
Right. You're like, do you want it to?
Like, what we doing here? What we doing here? And did you finish your homework before you came in here braiding my hair, girl? Get out. So once she braided my hair, I was like, oh my God, box braids. Man, this is amazing. This is a time. I just woke up and my hair is just done. This is great for me. Yes. So I celebrate that. We love a protective style. Okay. I want to ask you one question in closing. You talked about joy. I want to hear some of your favorite things right now that are bringing you joy.
Let me see. Audiobooks. Mm-hmm. I'm such a nerd. Like, I've always been a voracious reader. So books in some form or fashion is always going to be at the top of my list. So audiobooks, I would say 98% of what I read is through audio now. Mm. And it's just the best. I would say it's gone off now. Some of the good television. Yeah. Like, we're in an age of some of the best television ever. Like, Succession just ended and Ted Lasso just ended. And, you know, I'm watching The Bear and I'm just like, gosh, we have so much great television right now. I'm watching The Lioness, you know, it's just like there's so much good that's on television. Warrior. So those are just some of the shows that are bringing me joy right now. Barada. Cheese.
Come on now.
So you go full circle to the charcuterie board with like grilled peaches and a good cracker. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I've been trying to recreate it. And I'm like, it never tastes right. No. So I would say that. And then just my family, you know, I've been traveling a lot. I just got back from an 11-day trip where I was away from home for 11 days and just being with my family, spending time with my family, it means more, you know, now mm-hmm. because I'm so busy. So
yeah. Oh, I love that. Especially the cheese shout out, because it does.
Yes.
It does bring a lot of joy, and also the peaches. You know, I know the girls.
I was like grilled peaches and cheese, and it just set it off. It set everything right off.
So. It's everything. The girls are out here ready for pumpkin spice time, and I'm like, it means we're saying goodbye to peach season, though. Like, let's have a talk about that. Okay, where can the people follow you, get more information about what you're working on? Where can they buy 5 copies of your book? I always just tell my listeners, go ahead and buy 5 copies. Anyone who's featured here, pick a book and buy 5 copies of it. That way you have books to give away. New people come to your home. You know, you can be like, here's a book for you, not my book, but an extra book. So
you're going to buy
5 copies. Where can the people follow you and find information about these things?
Kennedy Ryan on Instagram, on the platform formerly known as Twitter. You know, now it's like X.
I'm like, what's that?
TikTok, you know, I'm Facebook. I'm in all those places. And my link, you know, you have your bio, like mm-hmm. your link tree. Everything is there, nice. Like all my books and announcements and all that stuff. So it's like a plethora of information that's there. And they can find my books, you know, everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, you know, online, all the places. So, and if people are looking for a place to start, I recommend starting with Before I Let Go. Mm-hmm. That's what I recommend. Before it comes to screen.
Okay, you gotta be
before you see it.
You gotta go ahead and do both things so you can read it. You'll be ready when it comes out on screen. Yes. I love that for you. Kennedy, thank you so much just for sharing your journey here. I know that there are a lot of listeners who may be at that crossroads where you were at that point
in
your life.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, for people who are at that crossroads, you know, you mentioned that we both kind of came to that place where we wanted to do something different. I mean, I didn't get my first book deal until I was 40 years old, you know, so it's never too late to pivot.
Yeah.
It's never too late to dig into a dream that you thought was out of reach. You know, I remember looking at Toni Morrison talking about how she didn't publish her first book or get her first book deal until she was 39. And I used to think, wow, she didn't get her first book deal until she was 39. And then I'm like, oh, wait, mm-hmm. now look at you, mm-hmm. 40, mm-hmm. your first book deal, and you never saw it coming. So it's never too late to pivot.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you, Kennedy, so much. This was great.
Thank you, Nina.
Her with Amina Brown is produced by Matt Owen for Soul Graffiti Productions, as a part of the Seneca Women Podcast Network in partnership with iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.